name we thank you, O Lord. We thank you that we're here today, O Lord, and we ask that you speak to us and that our hearts are changed. And whatever we hear today from you, O Lord, that it finds expression in our hearts and we go ahead and do as you've told us to do in Jesus' name. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise God. Sunny, I think you can start recording if you want to. So, Encounters with Jesus. Today we're going to be looking at Luke 7, verse 36 to 50, and the theme that we're going to be looking at today would be the power of love, grace, and forgiveness. And those are very powerful things, you know, when we talk about Jesus. He's come here to give us, you know, grace freely. And he's loved us, and obviously to forgive our sins. So I pray that at the end of today, we would go feeling loved by God, feeling loved by Jesus, feeling, you know, his love and his grace, and also feeling forgiven. Praise God. So we're going to be looking at a story, which I'm going to read in a minute very quickly. And we're going to see two sets of people, two sets of responses, and we're going to discover how Jesus managed that situation. As always, he always does a very good job, and he leaves everyone, you know, thinking and feeling loved and not condemned at the end of the day. And also, we're going to see how forgiveness, receiving forgiveness, how that transforms us. So this is just the content which I've, you know, gone through. And then, so I'm going to start the encounter and what does encounter mean? And the dictionary says encounter is unexpected. So it's not a planned meeting or anything. No, it's an unexpected, you know, experience with something or with someone. But the good thing about it is with Jesus, that experience becomes a positive, massive, life-changing experience. That is it. As opposed to us probably, I had an encounter today and someone is expecting to hear something negative. But with Jesus, it's not just an encounter. It turns into something that's positive and a massive life-changing experience. And I'm just going to quickly read so that it gives us context to what we're talking about today. So I'm reading from Luke chapter 7, verse 36 down up until 50. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought out an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them would love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." He then turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. This passage is a passage that makes you reflect a lot. And it kind of makes you group them into two people. And sometimes you ask yourself, where do I belong? Am I with the woman or am I with Simon? How do we respond to things? How do we respond to people? When you meet someone in a workplace or on the street, in the shops, what's our response? If you're, you know, kind of in a hurry and you've got like a truckload of things in your trolley and you're waiting on the cashier and she's probably her first day at work, or maybe she's just not having a good day herself and she's a little bit late, how do we respond? Are we like... like, what is the response that we're giving to that situation? How are we thinking about it? Are we, can you hurry up and do your job? Or are we like, oh, is she all right? Maybe I should wait a little bit. Sometimes we need that space for love. And when we're in a hurry, we're not able to actually love. And also, when we're looking at people in terms of what we see and what we know, we might not be able to love as well. Sometimes we need to look at them from the lens of Jesus, look at what much more can come out of that rather than what we're seeing or what we already know. And so we're going to see two people, two different responses. Simon invited Jesus to his house, offered little honor, watched and judged, questioned Jesus, whereas the woman came knowing her need. How do we come to Jesus? Sometimes when we're Christians for a very long time, we feel like we know it all. We feel like, you know, we can even tell the Bible from the back of our hands. And when we come in with some sort of familiarity, and we forget that we should always come in a place of humility. And Jesus wants us to remember and to be like the one that has been forgiven the most, rather than the one that wasn't forgiven a lot. And this woman wept at the feet of Jesus. She gave something precious. What are we giving? What are we giving when we come to Jesus? Are we giving our bare minimum? You know, Simon invited Jesus and did not take into cognizance the respect and the honor that Jesus came to his house. Whereas somebody else heard, and when she came, she honored him. Are we honoring Jesus in our hearts? What are we doing? How are we coming to his presence? And what are we giving? And she loved extravagantly. She didn't care. She brought the most expensive thing she had and she poured it at his feet. Whereas other people are looking at who she was. She knew who she was, but she knew what she wanted from Jesus. And that was grace. That was forgiveness. That was love. She'd heard about him and she wanted that. And she laid herself down. She didn't care. She didn't mind what people were going to say about her. She laid herself down. And, you know, when we look at the way Simon reacted, it also questions us, how do we react when we see people like that walk into church or when we know about them? Imagine living in a small community like we live in, and we know certain people and their lives, they've probably been here for ages, and somehow they walk into church. Are we all like whispering like, oh my God, did you see that? Or are we like happy like, wow, thank you, Jesus. What is our first initial response? What is that? So come to Jesus as you are. That's how many people gather courage to come to Jesus. Sometimes they're people that are really weighed down with what they are and what they've experienced and what their lives have been. But there's some people that have taken that courage. And everyone sitting in this room has had an encounter with Jesus. And that's why we're here today. And I don't know the kind of courage you had today. You stepped out to give your life to Christ. But I remember the day I stepped out to give my life to Christ. And I know it wasn't an easy one, especially because I came from a Christian home where automatically it was assumed that I was already a Christian. So stepping out from that crowd was, you know, a bit like, what are people going to say? What's the reaction? Will my parents ask me questions when I get into the car? Like, okay, what happened today? Have you not been in Christ? You know, and imagine what other people feel before they take that bold step to walk into church or to ask you that question, like, who is Jesus? Or to even bear themselves out to you. But that's what Jesus wants us to be. And we are representatives of Christ here on earth. We are the Jesus most people would see in our workplace, on the streets, on the road, wherever we go to. And when people come as they are you happy to receive them as they come? She came with her tears, her brokenness, her worship, and she came with her alabaster jar. She stood behind the feet of Jesus weeping because she was aware of all that she came with, the baggage that she came with. Yet, it did not stop her. So when people have that courage to come, are we stopping them? Are we encouraging them? Are we like Jesus or are we like Simon? And, you know, again, when you think about Simon, there was something that I got to understand, you know, whilst, you know, studying the word with a group of people, and that is fact versus truth. Simon had the facts of this woman. She was a sinful woman, and whatever facts she had, those things were true. Like, they were facts. Let me not say they were true. They were facts. They were things that actually happened. But Jesus had the truth. And what is that truth? The truth set her free. The truth is Jesus has come to forgive. Jesus has come for you and I. He's come for the sick, for the hungry, for the weary. And Jesus didn't come for the people that already know him and are so intelligent about him. He came for the people that didn't know him and for them to know him. So when you look at people, are you looking at the facts or are you looking at the truth? And who's the truth? Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Simon saw a sinful woman while Jesus saw a person who needed grace. That was the fact. She was very sinful, but Jesus saw a woman who needed grace. When we see people, when we look at people, what do we see? Be careful when you become more conscious of someone else's sin than your own need for grace. Grace cancels a debt we cannot pay. Each and every one of us sitting here have experienced something that has caused us to experience the grace of God. And God canceled that debt. Do we extend grace to other people after we've received grace? Two debtors, one problem, one solution. Neither could pay, both were forgiven. The debts were different, but the condition was the same. Neither could pay. Our failure may look different. Some are public, others hidden, but none of us can earn God's forgiveness. None of us, every one of us sitting here today, were once where the sinful woman was. Yes, the situation would have been different, but it was the same thing. We can't pay. That's the same thing. Forgiveness is not end, it is grace. At the feet of Jesus, we all come needing grace. So when next you see that person, think about where God took you out from and how far he's brought you, and extend that grace to that same person. That's what they need. And one day they will be where you are, and you would also want them to extend the grace to the next person. So it's like a ladder as you climb up. When you get there, don't push people down, but extend a hand to bring them up. Forgiving people love differently. When you've been forgiven, you would understand what it means to be in that place and the transition to where God will take you to. If you've not experienced that, you wouldn't understand the gravity of that forgiveness. Simon offered/gave no water, no kiss, no oil, because he believes he's the son of Abraham. It's an entitlement. It's like when you come from money and when you come from nothing and you move to money, you understand what it means to be down there. But a child born into money might not understand, and therefore they don't understand what other people are going through. So it was his birthright, a son of Abraham. But she came knowing what she needed. She gave her tears, kisses, perfume, her heart. Simon saw her reputation. Jesus saw her repentance. Her love did not buy forgiveness. No, it did not. It was her response to receive grace. It was her response that earned her what, you know, she received it. When we understand how much we've been forgiven, worship becomes gratitude and not obligation. So she didn't come there. What's that? She said pocket. So she didn't come there you know, like Simon did in that, you know, frame of mind of, in that frame of mind of, you know, entitlement. She came, and that worship that she gave Jesus, she didn't see it as something that she had to do. She saw it as something she wanted to do. It became something that came from her heart and from a place of gratitude. Go in peace. Grace gives you a new future. Jesus gets the final word. So wherever you are, Jesus gets the final word. Not your mom, not your dad, not what people have said to you, not your experiences, not what you've stolen, not the life you've lived before. Absolutely none of that. Jesus gets the final say. And what's the final word? You are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So as many that have, you know, sometimes those words keep coming to our minds. Some things we've been involved in something before that has made us to sin or fall into temptation. And when we're faced with that same situation, we hear the words coming. Reply, Jesus has the final say. And he has said to me, you're forgiven. Go in peace. Your faith has made you whole. Grace forgives. Love responds. Faith transforms. Jesus gives a new beginning. Forget ye the former things. Behold, I will do a new thing. People know the woman by her past. Jesus gave her a future. She entered carrying shame and a reputation. She left carrying the words of Jesus. Whether we identify with the woman or with Simon, we all need Jesus. And then you think about it somehow, where you say, where we talk about the encounter. After she encountered Jesus, she came with shame and a reputation. But after the encounter, words of Jesus. What words of Jesus are you living with today? And what words of Jesus, when people encounter you, do they live with? When people come to you and say things to you, do you just ultimately say facts to them, or do you actually tell them the truth? When people come to talk to you about their health, are you talking about facts? They already know the facts. The doctors told them the facts. They don't need you to repeat it to them. Sometimes they want to hear the truth. Closing challenge. What are you bringing to the feet of Jesus today? Your past, your guilt, your pride, your brokenness. Bring it all to him. Come. He says, come to me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And as we think about things and reflect, I wanted us to just have this personal reflections. And obviously some of this could be discussed during the community group. The woman. What gave the woman the courage to approach Jesus despite her reputation and the judgment of others? What was it? Think about it. What in your own case, is that something that is pulling you back, like Sister Sophie said, and you're not ready to get into the new? Think about the woman and think about yourself. What is that thing that gave her the courage? You need to find that courage to move from where you are to where you need to be. Simon, why do you think Simon could see the woman's sin but struggled to recognize his own need for grace? Sometimes we know the facts of people and we forget all about our own, because maybe we sin differently than others. Some are public, some are private. So we're so into the public sins of others that our minds are there rather than our own need for grace. Jesus, what does the way Jesus treat the woman teach us about God's character? And how like looking at the whole situation, especially the reputation of this woman, what does that teach, with the way Jesus responded, what does that teach us about the character of God? When you have an answer for that, that's the grace, or that answer is what answers all your questions when you feel guilt. We're dealing with the character of God and not the character of man. Forgiveness and love. How should understanding God's forgiveness change the way we love him and other people? Personal reflection. Who do you identify with most in a story? The woman or Simon? And why? What is the practical change you can make this week because of what you've heard today? And finally, what am I bringing to the feet of Jesus today? As I come to a close with all of this, I just want us to close our eyes and just, you know, think about everything God has said to us today and ask for his grace, ask for his mercy. And whatever you're bringing to his feet, let him know what it is and he will let you know what to do. He will send the word through someone, through the Bible. Just bring everything to the feet of Jesus today. Know that he's saying, come to me with everything. I will give you rest. Whatever is taking away your peace, even if you've identified with Simon today, we all know that Simon needed grace as well. You need grace and you can get it from Jesus. Come as you are. Don't try to be the woman if you were Simon. And don't try to be Simon if you were the woman. Or whatever you identify with, come as you are. Jesus is here and he will give you rest. Eternal Rock of Ages, we thank you. We glorify your holy name. And we say, Lord, that rest and that peace that you've promised us, we receive it today. And as we go out, oh Lord, may we be genuine representatives of you. And may we also see people with truth and not facts in Jesus' name. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.